3 John 2 says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. It's connected to the covenant. It's connected to the things of God. You have a covenant of healing. And so today we're going to talk about healing and get your faith prepared to activate your covenant. We said love is the greatest motivator, but faith is the greatest activator. How are we going to activate the covenant power and promises and provisions of healing? By our faith. So the Lord is looking for our faith this morning so that we can receive what he has promised and provided. Everybody say the covenant of healing. So it is commonly said that health and wealth is wealth. And I think this is true. Because nothing holds value when your health is in jeopardy. It is said statistically, just statistically, these are statistics, current day statistics, 70% of Americans, adult Americans over the age of 65, go bankrupt because of the expenses that they incur through medical and health and medicine and things that they need. 70%, you know, right when a person's worked and retired, now their health becomes a challenge, and then they lose their wealth. Amen. Anything and everything goes on the demand of poor health. You know it. Doesn't matter what kind of house you're in, what kind of car you drive. When you're sick, infirm, disabled, dismembered, everything goes when you're in poor health. Therefore, to say health is wealth makes a whole lot of sense. The state of perfect health is the will of God. He wishes that he prays that we prosper in all things and be in health. The state of perfect, or the status of perfect health, is the will of God for all of his covenant children. Just like you and I as parents or grandparents or great-grandparents, we never desire or want or wish our children to be sick. Physically, mentally, or emotionally. Isn't that right? So what does God want? Does he want you sick the rest of your days? So the state or status of health is the will of God. Now, let's define health for a minute. Sickness is, simply stated, the absence of health. When you're sick, you're absent of health. Healing is restoring you back to health. So God has made provision for divine healing and divine health. So healing is when you're restored back to health. You need to get receive healing back up to health. And then, of course, divine health is where you don't get sick when everybody else is getting sick. Allergy season, flu season, whatever season, any virus, any variant, you don't get sick. Amen. That's divine health. So God wants us who have sickness to be restored back to health. Those who have health to stay in good health. And those who have health move to life. Divine healing, divine health, and then divine life. Divine life is where you help get others healed. God uses you as a voice and as a vessel of healing. You are an instrument used by the Lord because he is the healer, not me, not anyone else. But he allows us to help him minister healing to others. That's divine life. Isn't that good? Complete health, complete healing, wholeness and soundness of body and mind and spirit is God's will for us. If you live a long, full life to be 100 years old or plus, that's good, isn't it? You're going to have to overcome a lot between now and then. How many agree with that? Because your body is mortal right now. It's soon going to be immortal. But if you're looking at me online, if you're looking at me here, you're not there yet. Everybody say, I'm not there yet. So your faith is going to have to overcome some things. Because there's no such thing as unchallenged faith, and the devil's a meanie. He comes about to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus came that we might have life and have life more abundantly. Now, let's look in the way in history at the first redemptive names, one of the first redemptive names of God revealed to the children of God back then. It reveals our covenant of healing. So let's turn to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15, verse 22 through 26. Exodus 15. 22 says, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went there 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. They're in a rough spot. Now, when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah. And for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And, verse 24, and the people complained against Moses. Now, when they complain against the preacher, they always complain against God. Don't ever think that's separated. Saying, what shall we drink? Then they cried out to the Lord, and a statue, and the Lord showed him a tree. Talking about Moses. And when he cast it into the waters became sweet. Now, first they were bitter, now they are sweet. And then he made a statue and an ordinance for them, for there he tested them and said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight and give ear to his commands and keep all his statues, I will put none of the diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians. For I am, underline, highlight that phrase, I am the Lord who heals you. Notice this passage of scripture reveals that one of the first redemptive names of God is Jehovah Rapha. And in that name, it reveals who God is and what God is in our lives based on covenant. Who he is, I'm a healer. God is a healer. Christ is a healer. What is he? He does healing. He is the Lord who heals us. God didn't say, I was the Lord who used to heal you, as some people purport or maybe have a warped perspective about. They say, God doesn't heal today. Why are the hospitals filled? Why are so many people sick? And the statistics are horrible, ladies and gentlemen. They're horrible. One out of every two men over the age of 65 get cancer. That's 50%. One out of every three women, elderly, get cancer. Every 90 seconds, somebody has a heart attack or a stroke. So it looks like, man, maybe the Lord used to heal, but what is he doing now? He's still healing today. It didn't say, I was the Lord that used to heal you, right? Or I am the Lord who might heal you. Maybe if it's easy. He didn't even say, and thank God for it, medical science will heal you, or that your doctor might cure you. See, medical science and doctors practice medicine, but God says his word is medicine. Hallelujah. Now, thank God for your doctor, and they keep you around long enough and keep you going good enough so you can get your faith up. But it's the Lord that heals you. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now, when he said, I am the Lord who heals you, he never retracted it. He never redacted it. He never reversed it. He changed not. He's the Lord that changes not, Malachi 3:6. Somebody say, praise the Lord. He is the Lord. He's still our Lord, our physician. So some people got their focus down here. Now, when I say focus down here, they're looking at what the diagnosis has told them, the doctor has told them, the medicine, medical science has told them. They're looking down here when they should be looking up here to look to the Lord, their healer, because he said, I am the Lord, your healer. I'm not trying to be. I'm not someday going to be. Come on now. I am right now your healer. And divine healing is spiritual, ladies and gentlemen. All divine healing is spiritual. When you look down here, you're just looking for some way, somehow, that doctor to figure it out. Or to shove a pill across the desk, or maybe a box of pills. He says, I am. And when he said, I am, he's using his covenant name, Jehovah. Jehovah Rapha. Hallelujah. I'm your doctor. I'm your real primary care physician. Come on now. Don't look to anybody else. Look to me. Look to my word. He never redacted it, or reversed it. He's still our healer, our divine healer. Again, all divine healing is spiritual. So most people look down here and they look for something physical. But healing is a grace. You can't pay for it. God doesn't send you a cost of benefits statement in the mail. Because it's already been provided and paid for by the blood of Jesus and by his stripes. By his stripes you were healed. That means everything and anything that comes against your body, it's already been provided for by Jesus. Hallelujah. So he still has the best health care plan. Some people get so bugged because I can't pick and choose. I don't know what to choose. I don't have any benefits. Yes, you do if you're a Christian. You have the benefits of God. You have the best benefits and best health care plan. His system is not flawed. We are his covenant children. Healing belongs to us. Come on, say that with me. Say, healing belongs to me. As a child of God. Now let's go unpack this just a little bit more. Mara, when they came to their water, Mara, it means bitter or bitterness. You know, sickness and disease is a bitter pill. Y'all know this because of the pandemic. Everybody's buzzing and talking about, I got any name they can call it, COVID-19, coronavirus, COVID now. I hear the word COVID. I had COVID. But most people are bitter when they get it. And they're fearful when they got it. It's like Mara. When you get a diagnosis of the big C, cancer, leukemia, come on now. Oh, you got arthritis. Oh, you got this. You got that. You got this. And it's like, that's bitter. And sometimes the doctors will be very straight up and straightforward because they've learned to be dispassionate and not to be too emotional when they communicate to you. They just want to give you the facts. You got this. This is what's going on. And that pill, those words are bitter. And see, they came to that waters of Mara, and they're looking around, and this is bitter. We need water. And many of God's children, unfortunately, need healing. Because life's been bitter. And what did they do? When there was bitterness, they complained. King James says murmur. Murmur is different than believing God. See, when you complain, you remain. When you praise, you'll be raised. In other words, complaining puts you in a category where you're not believing and trusting God. It's hard to complain and be in faith at the same time. Murmuring has 3 degrees or 3 levels. Level 1 is complaining. Griping and complaining about stuff. Man, this hurts, this hurts, this hurts. Ah, this hurts. Bitterness means, root word, to bite. And so people are biting down with their mouths, and so they're barking out like a dog. This hurts. This, I don't feel good. Complaining. Then number 2, criticizing or being critical or cynical. So who do they speak against? They spoke against Moses. See, when you're bitter, you bite people. You just don't bite down on your problem and go, "Arr." No, you start chewing on somebody else and go, "Ah." That's why when people are hurt, they hurt other people. Y'all know that. Hurting people hurt other people. And so they talk ugly. They call names. Why? Because it's just a process and a different level of murmuring. And then number 3, they condemn. Moses brought us out here to die. We're going to die of thirst. This water's bitter. He got us in the wilderness. There was no saws to rescue them. There was no underground pipes to come pump a water fountain to them. And when that doctor tells you something that says, this is it, this is terminal, this is going to get progressively worse, it's like being at Mara. But you have a choice. Am I going to complain and remain at Mara drinking bitter water the rest of my life, or am I going to praise and be raised up from here? What happened? What happened? He said, the Lord says, throw in the tree. In other words, to us today, go back to the cross where the blood was applied. Come on now. Go back to the cross where his stripes, we were healed. Come on now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, when we condemn, we sentence or judge others or speak evil of another. And when they spoke against Moses, they spoke against God. They said, God, we don't trust your lordship, and we don't trust Moses' leadership. And too many pastors get blamed inadvertently, and maybe even unintentionally, for other people's pain. If you were more anointed, if you wouldn't have let us here, if you wouldn't have came here, whew, glory to God, hallelujah. James 4:11 says, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. Now, in chapter 2, he just talked about the royal law of love. What the law was James, by the Holy Spirit, talking about? The New Testament royal law of love. If God loves you, he loves you, he'll heal you. Healing is a part of his love for you. Just like forgiveness is a part of his love for you. Amen. Why is this important? Because when you speak and judge the law of love, you speak against God, who is love. When you speak against a child, another brother or sister or a child of God, then you speak against God. You contribute to their downfall, their demise. You become not a law doer, but a judger of the law, and you get judged by that law. And we said it before, every step out of love is a step out of God. And it's a step out of the plan, the purpose, and the power of God for your life. Faith works by love. When you have no love, you have no faith. And if you have no faith, you have no grace. And if you have no grace, you can't receive what he's given, what he's freely given. Come on now. But you got to have love to activate and operate your faith. And then faith to activate that covenant and give you what he has provided for you by grace. Come on now. So if when you step out of the law of love, when you tack and bite and be bitter towards other people, come on now, you cut off your covenant. Reverend Pastor Keith Moore said this. He said, if you want to go down and stay down, just gripe and fuss when you have problems. Why do Christians do that? Not all of them, some. He said, this is why so many folks do, they don't see a miracle and they don't get the answer because they complain. They gripe and fuss. That is unbelief. And when you're in unbelief, you judge God. When you're in doubt, you blame God. You point the finger at God in accusatory attitude. I'm blaming you for that. Why did you put this on me? Why do I have to go through this? And you judge and him what? Unreliable. Unfaithful. He abandoned me. Why do I have to go through this? Am I talking to the right crowd? And we judge God, his unfaithfulness, unreliable. And so we limit God and we push God out of the equation. He can't do any work and cooperate with us without faith. And faith can't work without love. Praise God. This is unbelief. So you can't gripe in faith. I don't know how holy, how many scriptures you can quote, how many hallelujahs and shundai, hundai, or untie my bow tie. You can speak. Come on now. You cannot gripe in faith. You fuss away the anointing. You fuss away the power of God. You complain. You will remain powerless. You can't complain in faith. Everybody got that? We should have a no complaint policy up on our mirror, in our bathroom mirror, and in the kitchen, in the refrigerator. You know, usually where three people go, right? People go in at the house, the bathroom, look at the mirror in the room, or look in the refrigerator. So you at least go there. So you need to remind yourself over and over again, I can't complain. I can't fuss. Come on now. See, this is a phrase that helped me. This is doubt, despairs, complains, and is sad. Doubt, despairs, complains, and is sad. Despair. Y'all know what that is. That means I quit. I'm ready to quit on life. Why do Christians get suicidal or homicidal when they get a diagnosis? They kill their relationships. They cut everybody off. They think that gloom, despair, agony on me. It's over. Just because you got a virus, just because you got a disease, just because you got a diagnosis, doubt, despair, complains and says, but faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. What's the indicator I'm in faith? I rejoice. Faith rejoices. Why do you rejoice? And in what do you rejoice? Listen to me very carefully. You're not rejoicing because you are sick or you got a disease labeled on you and laid in your lap. You're not rejoicing over that. You're rejoicing that God always causes me to triumph in Christ. And thanks be to God who gives me the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. Come on now. I'm rejoicing in the finished works of Jesus, that he died, he was buried, rose again. That means that he brings me victory, blessings, and triumphs in any situation, in any circumstances. I'm rejoicing in what Jesus has done and what God is going to do in my life. Come on now. He's going to get the word. The word is going to work mightily on my behalf because I trust him. I don't trust what I feel or what I see. I trust God. And that's how it's going to be. Somebody say glory to God. You meet somebody and they're griping and sad and expressing gloom and misery and despair. Now, you know the Bible does says weep with those that weep and mourn with those that mourn. But it's only for a season. It's not lifelong misery and drudgery. Sometimes you need to slap some people and say, stop it. You cried enough. Let's go. You need some faith friends to slap you in the mouth. You complained enough. Stop it. You've cried enough tears. Let's go. They're not in faith. How come when they're in gloom and misery and despair? Because they can't be. What does faith do? It rejoices. It gives thanks. And is glad. You know how some people walk and they look and they got their smile upside down. What is that? A frown. And so they tell and they want you to ask them, what's wrong with you? And they're just waiting to release all that poison and all that toxicity on people and tell them how bad it is, how life's unfair, how they so mistreated. And let me put my victim glasses on. And they got V's in the middle of them. They say, I'm a victim in life. We've had to go through all this stuff and drama and trauma. Come on now. Come on. Nobody went through more than Jesus. And if he freely gave you Jesus, he'll freely give you anything and everything you need. Come on now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, faith is how we receive and how we take delivery of our healing that belongs to us. Without faith, we cannot receive and take our healing. So I'm telling you this morning to stir up your faith. Hope's a good waiter. But, if you watch football, a lot of these guys, and sometimes these receivers drop footballs. They just drop it. But hope is a poor receiver, just like some of these receivers that drop football. You don't want to drop your promise. You don't want to drop the power. Come on now. You want to be in faith. Faith is a good receiver. Faith is a receiver. Faith is a taker. Faith said, it's mine. I take it. I have it now. Faith is how you receive and take delivery of your healing that belongs to you. Amen. You might ask, what do I have to be glad about? I was given an evil, negative, or bad report. I just received a death sentence by the doctor. Terminal cancer. Or are you going to die? I feel terrible. Even some people say, I don't want them to put me on a respirator. They got COVID-19 and they think that's death sentence. Well, statistically, it might be. But you don't live your life based on statistics. You live your life based on the Son, the Savior. Come on now. The system of God. Come on now. God is healing. God is medicine. God's word is medicine to all your flesh. You might even say, I feel terrible. What do I have to be glad about? Well, if you believe in the word of God, the Bible, you have something to be glad about because the Bible tells you this, 1 Peter 2:24. Listen to this. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. That's a good thing. Everybody say that's a good thing. He bore them so we don't have to bear them, but so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. Everybody say that's a good thing. God dealt with our sin. Come on, and God forgave us of our sins. But in the same cross, he dealt and helped us with our sicknesses. By his wounds, you have been healed. Come on now. If I was healed, then I am healed. And in the mind of God, my healing was already established 2,000 years ago when Jesus went to the cross of Calvary. Come on now. By his stripes, I am healed. According to the word of God, I am well. I'm healed. I'm whole from the top of my head. Come on now. To the tip of my toes. I'm healed. Woo! I'm healed. That's what you're glad about. Psalms 91:16, with long life, will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Why do I have to work 50 years and get to the age of 65 or 70 and then my health starts breaking apart and falling apart? Come on now, and dealing with all this sickness and disease and misery and despair. Come on now, with long life. He says long life, long life, long healthy life. Come on now. How do we translate it in the New Testament? Well, he told people in the field, because some people say, well, that's Old Testament, pastor. Get in the New Testament. Yeah, let me give you a New Testament scripture. Ephesians chapter 6, it says, he said, children, obey your parents. Honor your what? Father and mother, Ephesians chapter 6, which is the first commandment with what? With the promise. With the promise. What promise? That it may be well with you. Well, sounds like healing, doesn't it? H-E-A-L-I-N-G. It may be well with thee, and that you may live long on the earth. Come on now. I can either go with Moses, or I can go with Paul. Praise God. Anyway, I got the mouth of two or three witnesses. Let every word be established. So with long life will he satisfy me. Come on now. With long life, long health, long strength. Come on now. Like Joshua and Caleb at 85, they said, give me that mountain. Give me that mountain. I got the strength I had when I was 40 years old. Everything functions. Everything's strong. At 40 years, at 85 years old, he's asking for a big mountain that he can climb up and conquer. He said, I got the same strength as I had when I was 40. With long life. Long life. Come on now. Spiritual longevity is part of my healing covenant. Spiritual longevity is a part of my healing. I ain't going to die before my time. Come on now. With long life, he's going to satisfy. Well, that means when you get satisfied, you just wink at everybody, smile at everybody, say, I'm out of here. Hallelujah. Psalms 107, verse 20. Listen to this in the New Living Translation. He sent out his word and healed him. Isn't that good news? That's what you're glad about. He sent out his word and healed them and snatched them from the door of death. Because, see, sickness is a form of physical death. That means an organ died. A systematic function in your body has died or is deteriorating or disabled or dysfunctional. Your respiratory system. We learned a lot about that since COVID-19, right? Your cardiovascular system. Come on now, your renal system. Come on now. He said he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from death. So when that system is dying, when it's decaying, when it's been disabled or being dysfunctional, he sent his word and healed me and delivered me from death's door. Come on now. That if he got to give me a new kidney, new liver, new lungs, come on now, a new heart. My heart beats with the rhythm of life because God's my healer. Somebody say, praise the Lord. He sent his word to heal me. Jeremiah 30:17 says, I will give you back your health and heal your wounds. New Living Translations, saith the Lord. King James or New King James said, I will restore health unto you and heal you of all your wounds. Isn't that a powerful promise? Isn't that something to be rejoicing, be glad about? Exodus 23:25-26. Listen to this. This is beautiful. He says, and you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. That means I'm going to take sickness out from your house. And there shall nothing cast their young before the, nor be barren in the land, and the number of thy days I will fulfill. Everybody got a number. What's your number? What's your number, sister? What's your number, brother? I mean, God's got everything planned out. The Bible says in Psalms 39, he has a book written about us. He has a storybook. And then what did he tell us in Psalms 90? Teach us to number our days. In other words, in Psalms 39, it says, he said, let me take heed to my words that I might not sin with my mouth. How many know you can cut off or curse your days with your mouth? you talk about more your disease than more than the delivering power and the healing power of God. You can cut yourself off and cut yourself short because of your words. Words, one time, a man of God was getting ready to pray for a son-in-law, a former son-in-law. He had divorced his sister and left him out there in a lurch, and of course, the family and stuff. And he had said so many things. He was getting ready to lay hands on him. He said, don't lay hands on him. Why? He said, words have been spoken. And laws have been put in motion. And they cannot be reversed at this time. You can talk yourself to death. See, if God has a number for you, you ask God, what's my number? You've heard men of God say, I'm going to live to 120. I'm going to live to 100. One said, you'll know when I'm gone, I'm satisfied. I got enough time on the earth. I'm gone. Left this earth without sickness or disease. He said, the number of your days he will fulfill. That means, says God, God says, I got your number. Now you hook up with the number I gave you and let's go. Hallelujah. Y'all get something out of this today? Matthew chapter 8. Look at this. And you got to look at this as Jesus, the will of God in action. Jesus was the demonstration of God's will in action. Because some people still have that question. Well, does God want me well? And does God want me healed? Look what he says. And when he came down from the mountain, a great multitude followed him. And behold, there came a leper worshiping him and saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now, his doubt was not on God's ability. Because most people believe God can do anything. Most people believe God can heal the impossible situations. And he can help you out of the most impossible situations. But sometimes we question God's will. That's usually the toughest challenge for many people, unfortunately. They don't know God wants them well. And it's personalized and internalized like this. God, do you want me healed? Because everybody kind of understands a little bit that it's God's will for us to be healed. But when you personalize it and internalize it, they say, well, I don't know if God really wants me well. And so he asked this leper, which is an incurable, untreatable condition of that time. A leper asked him, if you want me well, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, said, what did he say? I will be thou clean. And immediately, everybody say immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. So that means God wants you healed of incurable, terminal situations. Look at this, verse 4. He said to him, see that thou tell no man, go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony to them. And when Jesus had entered into Capernaum, there came a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord. Notice both times they said Lord. Now, why is he Lord? Lord simply means this. Y'all heard me say it before. He has absolute mastery over death in all its phases. Sickness is a form of physical death, a form of death. So absolutely. Mastery over death in all its phases, come on now, over hell and all its hosts, over Satan and all his works. Because see, one of the works of Satan is sickness in your attacking your body. He attacks you with sickness and over sin and all its consequences. Jesus is Lord. Everybody say, Jesus is Lord. So when you call him Lord, you're surrendering to his lordship. It's an act of honor and deference to him as Lord. So this centurion, who wasn't even in covenant with God, but bowed to the Lord, he could have cost himself his life and his legacy as a leader in the Roman government. But he came and said, Lord. Lord. My servant lies home, sick of a palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will, there it is again, come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Come on now. All I need is your word, Lord. Come on now. And for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to this, my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to him that followed, verily I say unto you, that I have not found so great, no, not in all of Israel. I'm going to skip down to verse 13 because of time. And Jesus said, go thy way, as thou hast believed, it shall be done unto thee. What is his faith? And his servant was healed the selfsame hour. Here's the truth. The spoken word is just as powerful as a personal visitation. Because some people want Jesus to come to Jesus, come down and help me. Come down and visit me. No. The spoken word is just as powerful as a personal visitation. Are you listening to me? And then in verse 17, he said himself. This is written by the prophet. Himself. Everybody say himself. Took our infirmities and bare us. That word took, or that word himself, that word himself, and then that word took means, it's one of the Greek words, nikos, where we get the word Nike from, which means victory or to carry away and carry off. It means to lift off of you. Himself took it, and he lifted it off of you. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. Covenant is serious business. Covenant is unbreakable, unchangeable, irreversible, and eternal. A covenant is a bond. One of the old English definitions is a formal, solemn, binding agreement that's binding. Now, one form of mercy is healing. And the mercy of healing is a part of the covenant. Psalms 103, verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious. He's full of mercy, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. Now, mercy, friends, is a word defining God's covenant love for us and toward us and others. That means we don't deserve it, but he's committed to give it to us anyway. Compassionately committed to give it to us anyway, because it's for our good and brings him glory. Amen. God is willing and ready to forgive us, but he's also to heal and help us. See, instead of crying out in despair and or complaining, griping, and murmuring about getting bitter and letting bitterness ruin you, cry out for mercy. Psalms 100, verse 6, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting. That means he's not going to run out of it. It's not going to run short and run empty on mercy. Psalms 145, 8 and 9. The Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. Great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercy is over all his works. Lamentations 3:22. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. Through the Lord's who? Mercies. We are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And as you look back at Psalms 103, you see, again, David believed in the mercy of healing was a universal privilege, just as the mercy of forgiveness. Psalms 103, verse 1 through 3 said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. What are they? Start in verse 3. They don't finish there, but they start there. Who forgives all thy iniquities, who heals all thy... Diseases there in the Hebrew is the word that means all things that make us sick. That's what the Hebrew word means. Anything, all things that make us sick. That means this. Like we said, sickness or being sick means you are absent of health. Anything that takes away from your health or makes you sick is a disease that's covered by the mercy of God, by the covenant of God. Now, the word healeth is, the Hebrew word healeth, It's mentioned four times in the Bible. We read it earlier in Exodus. I am the Lord that healeth thee. That word means Rapha. Healeth thee. Somebody say glory to God. So the phrase who healeth all is just as permanent as the phrase who forgiveth all. So our Father God, as we get ready to close, is ready and willing to heal today, just as he's ready and willing to forgive today. Some people really believe, God forgive me. They repent quickly. But today I want you to receive your healing quickly, just like you receive your forgiveness. Amen. 1 John 1:9, we know that. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins if we confess our sins. But if we call on him, will he be faithful and just to forgive us to heal our sicknesses? Yes, he will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. Praise the Lord. Last couple of scriptures is Psalms 86, verse 5 and verse 15. For you, O Lord, are good and ready to forgive. He's ready. Are you ready? And abundant in mercy. He's abundant in mercy to all those who call upon him. So you don't come in here saying, Lord, I've been a faithful Christian for 50 years, 20 years, 25 years. You better heal me. He's ready to forgive. He's abundant in mercy. Dad Hagin used to say, you know, sometimes when he'd have healing lines, he would have people saying, I surrender. Because some people come out with pride, their merit badges. I deserve to be healed. We can't buy it. We can't earn it. We just receive it by faith. Amen? You are good, ready to forgive, and abundant in mercy to all that call on you. Verse 15. But you, O Lord, our God, are full of compassion. Thank you, Lord. Come on, lift your hands and say, thank you, Lord. And gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in mercy and truth. Now, in his book, Christ the Healer, F.F. Bowers had a chapter entitled The Lord's Compassion. And he says this and goes into detail about this and brings out this point. Throughout Scripture, when the sick came for healing, they asked for mercy. Y'all know blind Bartimaeus did that. Son of David, have mercy upon him. What were they doing? They were putting a demand on his covenant love. Jesus walking this way, and this blind man's crying out this way, and he stopped because he heard the covenant. When other people go, Lord, have mercy upon me and help, he stopped. Well, you know why? He heard the covenant. Hallelujah. And you see, God's mercy covers man physically as well as spiritually. And again, we read in the four Gospels, Jesus had compassion on the sick. The same word for compassion is also translated mercy. Jesus was moved with compassion and healed all their sick. Somebody say glory to God. Now stand to your feet real quick. Acts 10:38 says, and how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So the same Jesus that we sung about, the same Jesus that we talked about, is still the same today, yesterday, forever. All we need is his word. We've been given you his word. And so he is in the house today. Come on, lift up your hands and begin to thank God for his word. Thank God for his word.